What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Good news, as you know, we have the Eagles this week. We got a lot going on in the city of Philadelphia. Sixers, not so much. Flyers looking good. But in regards to the Phillies, we have less than a month until our first spring training game. Yeah, the Phillies will be playing the Tigers in less than a month from now on February 22nd. And frankly, that's all I needed today. That is getting me through as we try to get to the weekend here and this Eagles game. And hey, Phillies baseball not too far around the corner. So got spring training coming up. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. MLB free agency heating up a little bit again as well. And just, you know, lukewarm, we'll call it. Not exactly heating up, but Hall of Fame results this week. We have a former Philly that is now in the Hall of Fame, which we will get to. And we'll talk about some of the numbers for Chase and Jimmy. The numbers, you know, for Chase looking really good here. So we'll certainly touch on that as well. And, you know, I have a couple different questions that I've seen thrown around the radio station this week and even beyond, just on Philly's Twitter and, you know, everywhere that's talking baseball regarding the Phillies, and kind of want to relate it to the Eagles a little bit. Obviously, we like to keep this a Phillies show, but at the same time, the Eagles played a pretty big one this weekend. So want to kind of tie it all in together, which I will try to do. And but again, baseball not too far away. And the great thing about the Eagles potentially making it to the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, because remember, there's 2 weeks in between the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. It kind of just gets that bridge. It makes that bridge for you to get to spring training, because once it's February, it's like, we're here. You know, we're going to be hearing glove pops and back cracks sooner than later. So that would be a great thing, just to be able to get the bridge to spring training. And obviously, the Eagles winning a title would just be unbelievable. So that is good stuff there as well. But so want to get to some, you know, free agency news to start the pod here, just kind of go over what's happened over the past week or so. And, you know, as the rest of the offseason has kind of been, it's been a lot of Dodgers stuff. And the Dodgers make a couple more big moves. They bring in Sasaki, who, you know, I had suspected was going to be a Dodger pretty much all along, just obviously because of the deferrals they have and what they can do with their money right now, and because of the Japanese sort of pipeline that they've created and getting Yamamoto last year and now having Sasaki. And it just seems like a lot of guys from Japan want to go play for the Dodgers, and hey, why not? They have the money, they have the winning pedigree, and it's on the West Coast. So Roki Sasaki, one of the, you know, better young pitchers maybe in baseball this upcoming year, will be a Dodger. Just what they needed to add to that rotation of, you know, Glass now and Yamamoto and Shohei, who's going to be back pitching, and a bunch of other guys there. You got Dustin May still, Tony Gonsolin. So my goodness, they are going to be a super rotation over there with the Dodgers to complement the, you know, maybe the greatest top three in terms of a batting order of all time, and Shohei, Mookie, and Freddie. So they might be a problem. They might be an issue. So not great. And they also, like, just underratedly, before the Eagles game starts last Sunday, I get on my phone that they just signed the best reliever on the market, and Tanner Scott, to a 4-year, $72 million deal. It's like, Come on, man. Like, I understand it's good for the sport that they're paying these guys, and probably in the long run, that's going to lead to more owners having to be aggressive, and ultimately, you know, the sport makes more money and it grows globally and whatever. But the one thing that bothers me about it is the deferrals. And I understand that, you know, it's their money and they can choose to do whatever they want with it. The ownership group, it makes these deferrals a part of the contract. There's nothing anybody can really do to stop it. But that's where it feels like to me the playing field is just too uneven, because they have such a large ownership group that these deferrals are essentially going to mean nothing. And down the line, obviously, the value of whatever, you know, Shohei's $70 million might be different. Like, if you had a deferral 30 years ago of, you know, Bryce Harper's $25 million contract, people would have said, or $330 million, 25 a year, people would have said that was insane. And maybe in 10 to 15 years, that number will not look as insane. And I'm sure it won't. So that I understand that all teams can do that, but I feel like there needs to be a rule with the deferrals that you can only maybe defer a certain amount of money, because from what is starting to happen here with the Dodgers, it's getting a lot out of control. But hey, you know, if the Phillies were doing it, I wouldn't be complaining. But they get, like I said, Roky Sasaki, who probably will be one of the better young pitchers, if not pitchers, in baseball next season, with all the talent that he has and how young he is. And then Tanner Scott, who they just signed for 4 years as well, and they defer money in both of those deals. So the Dodgers could be dangerous next year. I'm definitely not excited to potentially face the Dodgers in a postseason format. But some other free agency news, Phillies-wise, I wanted to get to real quick. Speaking of Japan, Koyo Aoyagi signed with the Phillies, who, you know, not as highly sought after as Sasaki was for the Dodgers. But, you know, he's an interesting little arm. He has the odd arm slot, which is, I guess, kind of his calling card. And, you know, funky deliveries is kind of what made certain pitchers succeed in the league. Like, the Phillies kind of did something similar with Matt Strom, to where they just got him out of his arm slot and they adjusted his stuff a little bit. And, like, he's played really well, or as his pitching has played really well since he's been here. And then Aoyagi is, like, he's 31 years old, and he's probably going to be somebody, and he is going to spring training. He'll be probably a swing man for them. Assume that he'll maybe get one of the long reliever jobs in this bullpen. And again, he, you know, he's pitched nine seasons already in Japan. He's got decent numbers, but at the same time, it feels like he is somebody who probably has already seen the best base, or has already pitched the best in his career. And I'm thinking he's topping out at around, you know, upper 80s, low 90s, maybe. And I just don't see him as somebody who probably cracks this rotation. But hey, maybe he's better than Taijuan Walker, who I'm also going to get to. Actually, I'll get to it right now. So before I get into these other free agency, you know, ideas, I mentioned Alex Bregman a little bit last week, and Jack Fritz has talked about it a lot on the station. And I think I agree with him when I say there still is a path to getting a bigger free agent here. And there's still some out there. Like, real quick, I'll go over, you know, Santander went to the Blue Jays and, for 5 years, $95 million. So they finally get a signing. And, earlier yesterday, Jerickson Profar goes to the Atlanta Braves on a deal there, so he'll be a Brave next year. But there are still free agents out there, like obviously Pete Alonso, Bregman, who I've mentioned. The path to them potentially getting another big free agent, not even a big free agent, maybe it's a reliever. Maybe they bring Carlos Estevez back, or they go after another one of these bullpen arms. And I mentioned the Scherzer idea, but the only way they're going to be able to get that done, or to potentially have the money to get it done if they don't want to go over the tax, is trade Taijuan Walker. And obviously, nobody is trading for Taijuan Walker as is. And they are going to, if they want to free up cap space with Taijuan, they're going to have to attach a prospect with him in order to get him, you know, to probably a bad team where it's, you have a White Sox situation, or you have like a Colorado Rockies situation, to where they just want to build their farm system up a little bit. And you give Taijuan and say, you know, a top 15 to 20 prospect with him in order to say, you know, look, we'll eat a little bit of the deal, but we want you to take the majority of it, free up the space for us so we stay under the tax, and we can go out and sign a guy like Bregman, or we can go out and get another reliever. So that's what they're going to have to do in order, I think, to make one more move, or else I think they're probably done, just from what I've been reading and what I've seen kind of reported around baseball. And I think that probably is easier said than done. And there are some prospects that I really wouldn't love to give up. Like, really excited for Griffin Burkholder, who was their second round pick. last year, who was a really promising young outfielder. You know, you got Eduardo Tait, who's really good behind the plate as well, who I think could, you know, really hit the baseball and kind of plays into a power bat from the left-hand side potentially. So, you know, I like a lot of these guys, but at the same time, if you find the right team to take on a prospect and Taiwan and eat a good chunk of that salary, I think it could open up things for the Phillies in terms of potential, you know, free agent move that they can make. And hey, that's important. Obviously, the Dodgers are still out here making a ton of moves, and the rest of baseball is kind of, you know, settled down except for them. But if the Phillies could go out and make one more bullpen move or go out and get a Bregman and shake some things up, I still think I would love that idea. So that's kind of where I'm at with the free agency stuff. And like I said, Profar going to the Braves. I thought that was an interesting little move that happened yesterday. I think they probably could have used the depth in the outfield last year, especially with all the injuries that they had. And I mean, he had came off a great season last year. And he's somebody who I thought was probably going to have a down year after, you know, having a phenomenal 2024. He didn't have a great 2023. I think his OPS was up big time over the past couple of years. So for, what was it, for 3 years, $42 million, like, it's a good deal for the Braves, but at the same time, it's not like I was begging the Phillies to make that sort of move, and I just don't think that was ever going to happen. So that's where I'm at on the free agency stuff, and wanted to move on, get to the Hall of Fame stuff a little bit, because, so me personally, and it'll probably change once I, and like, I grew up loving Chase, loving Jimmy, and all those guys, even Bobby Abreu, but like, I'm not the biggest Hall of Fame guy. Like, I love baseball to death, but some of the stuff with the Hall of Fame and just the way that guys get in, the way that writers vote, I don't know. It always seems like it's almost like how I feel with the Pro Bowl in the NFL, even though the Hall of Fame is obviously a way bigger honor. Like, it just seems kind of flawed, the system that goes into the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. But it is obviously still a huge honor for these guys. And when, you know, Chase eventually gets in, I think it'll be a great day for Philadelphia sports fans. And obviously, I grew up with Chase Utley being, you know, the guy here, and him and Jimmy and Ryan, and having at least one of those guys be in the Hall would be, you know, incredibly special. So just to go over some of the former Phils, Billy Wagner, in his 10th and final year on the ballot, gets in. 82.5% obviously gets over the 75% threshold. He gets in. He is now a Hall of Famer, and not that he was here for that long, but good to see a Philly get into the Hall of Fame there, especially on his last year. So that was interesting to see. Chase Utley, again, takes a big leap in his second year. Gets all the way up to nearly 40%, 39.8% in his second year on the ballot. And the way that these trends go in terms of, you know, if guys get in based off of how they do in their first couple of years and if they, you know, progress toward that 75%.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Threshold, Chase is looking really good. Like, he's at 40%, and I think that he will continue to grow. And look, it took Billy Wagner 10 years. And for Chase only being in his second year, for him to get that many votes, I think it's a really positive sign. And I think he ultimately ends up getting in, which would be my choice as well. I would put Chase in, and I would probably say that he is the most likely guy to get in out of the Rollins, him, and Howard crowd, just because of the peak that he had from about 2005 to 2010. Was just before the injuries, just one of the greater peaks that we'll see for a second baseman in our lifetime. So that's why I think Chase ultimately gets in. Bobby Abreu and Jimmy Rollins finish right next to each other. Bobby Abreu, in his sixth year on the ballot, gets 19.5%, which, again, I don't think Bobby Abreu probably gets in, even though just phenomenal player, put up some great numbers. But in his sixth year, that's probably not the percentage that you're looking for. And if you want to get in, Jimmy Rollins, fourth year on the ballot, finishes right under him at 18%. I don't think J-Roll has the career statistics probably to get in. It's funny. I mean, Chase was the only one of the three not to get the MVP, and I think that he'll probably be the only one of the three to end up getting in to the Hall of Fame, which is pretty incredible to think about. And obviously, Utley was on his way to winning it in 08 and then broke the hand, and eventually he's going to, I think, get in the Hall here. So that's where I'm at with the Hall of Fame stuff. And one thing I also wanted to get before, and I talked about the Shredder last week from MLB Network, and I always find it pretty interesting. They did their shortstop list yesterday, and Trey Turner finishes 10th on their shortstop list, which I thought was, some of these Shredder lists that they've been coming up with are just, I don't want to say that they're terrible, but they're pretty bad. They had Bobby Witt, who, remember Bobby Witt last year was like an MVP candidate. If Aaron Judge didn't have the year that he had, like, Bobby Witt put up the type of numbers to where that would have been one of the better MVP seasons in recent memory, let alone being the fourth best shortstop in baseball. So I thought that was a little wild. And yeah, so the list goes: Gunnar Henderson 1, Corey Seager 2, Francisco Lindor 3, who also just came off a potential MVP season, Bobby Witt 4, which again is crazy, Mookie Betts at 5, and then Dansby Swanson, who had a terrible year, at 6, then Correa, Ellie, Willie Adames, and Trey Turner at 10. I just thought that was all over the place. And I looked at it for the first time. I was like, is this just like a fan-voted list? And apparently it's not. So Dansby Swanson, way too high on that list. Ellie De La Cruz, Mookie, Bobby Witt, definitely too low. Frankly, Seager's a great player, but he didn't have a phenomenal year last year whatsoever. So I just thought that was interesting. And Trey, coming at 10, I probably would agree with it. He's probably over Correa, and a couple guys, if not for the injury last year, probably Willie Adames too. People do forget that he had a phenomenal start to the year, and then goes out with the hamstring injury in May, and then is an all-star starter, but then tailed off towards the end of the year. And because of the postseason performance, we forget that Trey did have a pretty good year statistically. But gotta say, the defense, certainly a part of this list. If you're gonna include defense, that's probably why Dansby Swanson is where he is at number 6, but I still think that Trey at the plate probably is ultimately a more valuable player than Dansby Swanson and Carlos Correa and Willie Adames and some of these guys. So probably would have put him higher on that list, but again, I'm probably going to come back next week and they're going to do a first base list, and they'll put Bryce Harper at 5. So I will always share my grievances with these MLB Network Shredder lists, and you can find them on their Twitter if you want to indulge yourself into, complaining about them, because, hey, it's one thing we like to do here in Philadelphia is we like to complain. And, hey, I will always share my complaints on here about these lists. So that's where I'm at with that. A couple questions I wanted to get to before we get out of here and wrap the pod up, because, obviously I work here at WIP and I've been listening to the radio all week and, working with the afternoon show now much more, and there's been a couple questions that have kind of crossed my mind as I'm listening this week, and just relating to the Eagles and the Phillies and kind of Philadelphia sports as a whole, and, you know, bringing it back to the Phillies here. So, obviously, if you watch Eagles football and if you're a fan of football in general, you know, what Saquon Barkley has done this year since he's come, you know, to the Eagles, and, you know, I've known him since I went to Penn State, so I've known him for so long now, and he's just always been this phenomenal player, and it really felt like in New York he was just being bottled up in terms of not only what he can do on the field, but just, you know, being him and showing his personality and, you know, having fun out there, because ultimately you play a game to enjoy it. And it feels like he had been somebody who had enjoyed it all of his life. And the last couple of years in New York, he just wasn't, you know, the same Saquon as he was in Happy Valley and, you know, even in his first couple of years. So with the way he's performed this year and him being a free agent and him choosing to come to Philadelphia and, you know, kind of embracing the Eagles and embracing the city and the fan base, if Saquon wins the Super Bowl and he's two games away, does he become the better free agent signing than Bryce Harper? And believe it or not, Bryce Harper is going to be halfway through his deal this year, which is insane to think about. But I wonder if Saquon, you know, continues to run the way he did and or the way he has, and they end up winning the Super Bowl, if he will become the better free agent signing, because I don't know what more you could do in your first year with a team than what Saquon has done this year. Like, he's an MVP finalist. He ran for 2,000 yards. And if he leads them to a Super Bowl, like, he will potentially be, and I think this is Bryce right now, the face of Philadelphia sports. And, you know, I think Bryce has done all the right things in terms of, obviously, what he's done on the field. Like, the guy's won an MVP here. He's gotten them to the World Series. He hit a freaking game-winning home run in the eighth inning of the National League Championship Series to send them to that World Series. But, you know, if you don't finish the job, I wonder if the face of Philadelphia kind of turns, face Philadelphia sports turns to Saquon Barkley. And, you know, there are two guys who really have just, you know, embraced this town. And ever since they've gotten here, have been, you know, guys who fans have been really proud to have in their city. I just wonder that if he gets the job done, like, obviously, Bryce, there wasn't much he could do in that World Series. The Astros figured out, hey, maybe we should pitch around this guy. And, you know, JT Realmuto, Nick Castellanos right behind him, we should probably pitch to them. So it wasn't really his fault. But if you don't finish the job, do you kind of give Saquon Barkley the edge if he ends up winning the Super Bowl? So it was just food for thought. It was kind of what I was thinking about this week as I'm listening to these radio shows. And I think I'm going to say yes, because of the way that he is, in just 1 year, has done all this, and he has accomplished so much. And from, you know, rushing for 2,000, him sitting out the last game to not get the record, and just his unselfishness. And you never hear a bad thing said about the guy, and you don't about Bryce either. But just the way he has sacrificed and the way he has sort of, you know, ingrained himself into this town so far, you'd be hard pressed to tell me that he doesn't become the face of Philadelphia sports. So, and I also think it puts, and this could be a good thing for the Phillies, it puts more pressure on the Phillies to go out and win a World Series. Because if the Eagles win this year, you know, the Phillies were on the precipice of this almost being a baseball town again, the way that it was in 2007 to 2011. Not that I think that the mood will be down going into the year, because as always, I'm going to be excited. I think a lot of the fans will be excited for what the Phillies do, but, you know, I just don't know if there's that same juice as there was going into last year throughout that five-year run. And if the Eagles win a title, I think it puts a lot of pressure on the Phillies to say, okay, like, watch this. Here's what we're going to do. So, thought that was pretty interesting. And you could take it to the coaches as well. Like, Nick Sirianni, Rob Thompson, there were a lot of people calling for Nick Sirianni's job throughout this year. I might have been one of them after the 2-2 start, and even after the Browns game that they won, where he's yelling at the fans. And they are maybe the two most opposite individuals that you could possibly find, like, between the calmness of Rob Thompson and just the, you know, energy and the little kid like nature that Nick Sirianni has. But at the same time, like, if Nick Sirianni wins the title, he's the best coach of Philadelphia right now. And I think I've given that to Rob, despite what, you know, some postseason decisions that haven't gone the way that, you know, I think that they probably should have played out. But, you know, Rob Thompson's done a phenomenal job since he's taken over with the Phillies. But at the same time, you know, he, like Bryce Harper, probably is going to feel pressure to get the job done next year. And If he doesn't, we know that Rob Thompson kind of does these 1+1 contracts to where he'll just get extended another year and have one more year onto his deal, so he's not just a lame duck going into the season. But if he doesn't get the job done, a lot of people are going to be saying a lot of stuff about Rob Thompson, the way that fans were talking about Nick Sirianni this season, and Nick backed it up. He has them in a position right now where they're one win away from going to his second Super Bowl. And if he wins it, man, I'll tell you what, there are going to be a lot of people eating their own words on Nick Sirianni, because he has put this team in a position to go back to a Super Bowl this year and win it and bring a championship home to Philadelphia. And not that Rob Thompson hasn't had them in that position, but he's made decisions that have contributed to them getting bounced in the postseason, especially when you think back to that Diamondback series. So, yeah, that's where I'm kind of at with, Bryce and Saquon and Sirianni and Rob Thompson there. So I always thought, I could play the Eagles topic into the Phillies here as well, because, we can always relate things here. And obviously, everyone's pretty up to date on the Philadelphia sports scene and what's going on. It's an exciting time in the city. It always is. When a team is making a run like this, whether it's Red October, whether it's, the NFC Championship game this weekend, or whether, the Sixers or the Flyers are in a deep postseason run, well, you can feel the excitement. You can feel the juice. So that is, kind of what I'm feeling, and I'm just excited. Get me to this weekend, and then get me to spring training. Get to the Super Bowl, and so we can get that bridge to spring training as I kind of, bring the pod full circle here. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening, and, enjoy the weekend. Have fun, and we'll talk to you next week. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everybody. I'll see you.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.